What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker. And I am, of course, your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zoom, coming to you here on May 9th, 2024. That is a thirsty Thursday. For those of you keeping track out there and appreciate you being here, make sure you hit that follow. Make sure you hit that subscribe. That way you are notified exactly when these episodes are going up onto Apple, onto Spotify, onto whatever it is, the platform that you are listening to my beautiful voice right now. And if you happen to like my voice, if you happen to be in a good mood this morning or you're just feeling frisky, leave me a nice little 5-star review right there on the bottom of the page. It helps get more eyes onto the podcast, and it helps keep people understanding what we're doing over here and what the show's going to be like when they listen. Appreciate y'all doing that, and appreciate y'all if you want to holler at me on the Twitter machine, at Zoobeard77, that's Zoobeard77 on Twitter. Let me know how y'all feeling after this Knick win last night. And, I mean, we got a big Ranger game tonight, too. So, holla at your boy and let me know how you guys feel. But in terms of that Knick game last night, that if that is not the exact mission statement of this team, that game, then I don't know what is. The ability to step up. The ability to next man up. The ability to be resilient. To never give up, to keep pushing, and to ultimately come out on top. That is who these Knicks have been all season long, led by Jalen Brunson. And Jalen went down in this game. Jalen, I got to be honest with you, when he got hurt, I was just saying to myself, this is a joke at this point. Like, the sports gods, they just got no respect for us as a fan base. They got no respect for any of these guys on the Knicks. They just like to laugh. That's it. And all of a sudden, second half starts, and you see Jalen Brunson come running out the tunnel like my man Willis Reed 54 years ago to the day. And, I mean, I just got to be honest with you. Once I found out that it was the anniversary of the Willis Reed run out, which I somehow slipped my mind yesterday, somehow got by me yesterday, but once I realized that, oh, baby, it was on. It was on. It was written, as they say. And Brunson came back out. I mean, listen, he's hobbling up and down the court, but he played the entire second half, and he played well. He did his damn job, and he led this team. Led this team to a massive comeback. Down 10 points to start the second half. They end up winning big at home. 130-121 against this Pacer team who wants to keep the pace up, who wants to be scoring a ton of points, and the Knicks are beating them at their own game shorthanded. And they would unfortunately be shorthanded down the entire stretch of this game because OG Anunoby, of course, had a sore hamstring, which, listen, if they would have said, oh, he's just, you know, literally anything else but sore, I would feel a lot better. But it feels like this is going to be a serious injury. And it's going to knock OG out. And if OG is not able to play going forward in this series, then Indiana is going to be a lot more successful in terms of Pascal Siakam scoring, in terms of just everybody getting able to, get involved in the action. The Knicks' rotation is going to take a massive hit. I mean, you're looking at it now, and Precious Achiuwa has to start. He has to start, and if you stick Precious into the starting five, that leaves Deuce McBride as the only guy who played minutes off the bench, or significant minutes off the bench for this team this entire postseason. Everybody else on the bench hasn't done anything outside of Alec Burks, who sucked when he's come on the court. And I feel bad for Alec because, you know, he's a professional, but he can't be out there. Even though they need bodies, even though they need guys to step up right now, Alec Burks cannot be part of that group because he showed you yesterday he is not ready. He's not the same guy that Tibbs loved to play in the 2020-2021 playoffs. It's not going to happen for him here, and that hurts because the Knicks need it to happen for him right now. The Knicks need somebody to step up. And last night, it was OG. He dropped 28 points through the first 2.5 quarters. And then midway through the third, that's when he gets hurt and he's out. It's a damn shame. especially since you saw Jalen come back and start pressing and start getting it right. And you see Dante drilling threes because they're leaving him wide open, because Indiana is a terrible, terrible defensive team. That's why they press. Teams that are terrible defensively press, or teams that don't have the size press. I went to West Virginia. Trust me, I know this. That's why West Virginia was press Virginia. We had less talent than the Big 12 schools that we were going against. We had less talent than the teams we were playing in preseason tournaments that were from major conferences. So what happens? Bob goes, all right, guys, you know what we do have? We have 10 to 12 guys on this roster who are interchangeable. And that's exactly what Rick Carlisle is doing right now. He's going, we got bodies. They don't. If we press them and then push the pace and we're having them just go, if you make the Knicks run and they only have 6 guys in their rotation, it's going to catch up at some point. And look at what it's doing right now. OG just went out with a hammy. You can't tell me that's not because he's playing too many minutes. You can't tell me that's not because of the pace of that game last night. This could get bad. And the Knicks won last night, and that was an amazing win. And I am very, very happy, and I love it. But this series could turn on its head in a dime if they are not smart and they don't fix things that are going on. And I mean, there's not really much to fix now when you have so many injuries, when you have all these things, because you are down to what you have. You are down to literally, okay, I got Alec Burks. That's it. That's my next option, and that's it. And then I got Daquan Jeffries, and then I got Jacob Toppin, and Shake Milton, and Jericho Sims. And you know what? Maybe you do get all those guys a couple of minutes, but they're not going to be able to sustain. They're not going to be able to be the guys who you can count on. If you really, really, really want to make a run, you need OG Anunoby. If you really, really, really want to beat this Indiana team, if OG is out, I have a feeling that this series is going to turn on its head, and you're going to start to see Indiana go off. You're going to start to see Indiana at home feel a lot more comfortable, get some turnovers, score, and if they do that, if they get themselves in a groove. Coming back to the Garden for a Game 5 versus a depleted Knicks team. And you hope Jalen Brunson's injury does not get any worse. You hope that foot does not swell up and there's anything else going on in there. And they have to start running imagery and they have to do all those things. You hope Jalen is just, he's got a little bruise and he'll be good to go. Throw a little ice on it. Take weight off and just lay down. Maybe put him in a boot just to be precautionary and just take it easy. Because if that gets any worse, then it's really good night, Irene. Then you can fully count on this team being knocked out because they can't survive without Jalen Brunson. And they can't survive without OG Anunoby, too. It's a yin and a yang. And especially at this part of the season, and especially with this team, like I said, as depleted as they are, they can't lose anybody else. They just can't. But that was a fun game. And that was a really, really, I mean, that's what you want to see from this Knicks team. That's what you want to see from a coach in Tom Thibodeau. You know, there have still been a lot of questions about Tibbs throughout this playoff run. A lot of questions about, oh, is he playing the right guys? Is he putting out the right rotation? I mean, what else do you want him to do? Now, if he would have lost that first series, if they would have lost to the Sixers and got knocked out, there would have been a lot of questions for Tibbs to have to answer this offseason, and probably he would have been answering them without a job, if I was the owner of the team, if I was Leon Rose. Because a first-round exit this year would have been unacceptable, especially to that Philadelphia 76ers team. I don't care who was missing for this Knicks team. I don't care what they did to them. That would have been unacceptable. They got through. Tibbs is now in a situation where he is taking on a team that's less talented, that he should be able to out-coach easily in a playoff series. And that's not a knock on Rick Carlisle. It's just a knock on his players. not being ready for this moment, not being ready to take on a team that is disciplined and that is looking to kick your ass. That's not what the Pacers do. And they sometimes you need to get knocked in the face in the playoffs to understand that. But Tibbs doesn't have any of his guys. He's literally down in two games in this series. He has lost Mitchell Robinson and now potentially OG Anunoby, both potentially for the season. Because at this point, a hamstring, that could be the whole year. That could be the last, whatever, 2 months. Takes you out. And now Tibbs is sitting here having to look at this team and go, how do I get people rest? How do I get people time? How do I get anybody into this rotation and start making a difference? And if he is able to find someone, if he is able to get this team through this series and get them into the Eastern Conference Finals with the talent or lack thereof that they have, then this will be Tom Thibodeau's best coaching job of his entire career. And this entire season has been that, but this would be the cherry on top of the cake. To get this group, like literally right now, look at this team, this group, into the Eastern Conference Finals, woof! This man would be, he'd be deserving of everything that you want to give him praise-wise. He would be that dude. And I gotta let you know, Tom Thibodeau, no matter what happens, I got your back. No matter what happens, when people start coming at you, the minutes police, about the Anunoby injury, when they start coming at you and they start saying, hey, you gotta stick more guys into the rotation when Alec Burks is horrific, I got you. It's not Tibbs' fault. It won't be Tibbs' fault. This season, if it breaks down, is because guys broke down. Is because guys got hurt. Is because Joel Embiid played dirty on Mitchell Robinson. Is because the Heat undercut Julius Randle when he went up for a layup in January. It's because of all those dirty little things that add up throughout the year that we just kind of forget about and that injure guys and take guys out and leave this team half of what they are. The Knicks got a big road ahead of them, and we're going to just have to see how this goes. We're going to just have to trust the process, and we're going to have fun. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And as we've seen, anything and everything will happen when it's the Knicks involved. Ooh, sheesh. Can never be easy with these teams, can it? But that's why we have fun. Playoffs. Play your ass off. I hope everybody on the Knicks bench heard that message. Time to step up. About last night. Oof. I'm killing this thing. I'm killing the singing. I know I am. I don't care what you people say out there. I don't care if you're a hater. I'm killing the singing game right now. And that's all that matters to me. Because the Mets got rained out yesterday. So by default, they get themselves a two-game sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. Well done, boys. Now they come home and they have a big-time series against the Atlanta Braves this weekend. And then they have another one against the Philadelphia Phillies the following week. Listen, I'll just leave it at this. The New York Mets are at a point in their year where, I said it the other day, they have to start winning. They cannot mess around. They cannot play games and sit five games under 500 or sit, right at 500. They have to start playing baseball to at least separate themselves from the bottom of the pack. They can still be in this pack that is developing in the NL, where there are a lot of teams that are sitting within a game or two of 500, but you have to get away from the teams that are five games under 500 and the teams that are six games under 500. The Mets need to give themselves a little bit of leeway between teams like them and the Cardinals, who are horrific. And they need to show that. That's why this was such an important series in my head. Because you cannot look back at the end of the year and say, damn, the Cardinals only had 68 wins and they got six against us. Because that is a wasted opportunity. And the Mets cannot have any wasted opportunities this year if they want to make a run. If this team wants to make a run, they have to get every ounce out of everything that they possibly can. And when you play bad teams, you have to take advantage of the opportunities that you are given. The Mets did that this week. They got two wins. And now this third game is going to be rescheduled in August. There's a mutual day off for both teams. And, I mean, listen, I hate when they rain games out and they move them back 3 months or until the end of the year or into whatever. The Mets and the Cardinals are going to play this game that was supposed to be played on May 8th on August 5th. So all they did was just swap the 5 and the 8 around in the date. And they just said, okay, that works. I mean, it's idiotic. And that's not, it's not just because the numbers are the same. It's idiotic because this is not fair to fans. This is not fair to teams. If you play a team on May 8th, and then play them again on August 5th. There is a good chance those two teams are in completely different places than they were in May. There's a good chance that you are taking what was supposed to be a hard-fought game or a game between two teams that are competing and making it a game that one team is competing and maybe the other isn't. Or maybe both teams are out of it at that point. It doesn't matter, but either way, you are taking away from fans, you are taking away from the teams, and you're taking away from baseball. I mean, how many times do we have to see games get pushed back so far? It's unfair. Why can't you stick that game today? Both teams are off. Why can't you play that game today? Just because. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. And when there are opportunities to play doubleheaders, the league refuses to do so because they have to have multiple gates. And I guess that's not even just the league, that's the teams. These money-hungry idiot owners who just have no idea how to promote their sport. They really don't. And Steve Cohen does a good job. He does a good job building up that ballpark. He's done a good job of understanding how to market. The unfortunate thing for Steve Cohen is his players haven't given him anything to help him with outside of the first season he took over. Now, that's their job, to make the playoffs and to make Steve Cohen not look like a dummy with all this Mets marketing, to not make Steve Cohen look like an idiot for spending so much money onto Citi Field. Players get their blame too, but not every owner is Steve Cohen, and not every owner gives a damn about actually making the fan experience better or winning. Most owners only care about that bottom line, and it doesn't make sense to me in a league where you want to be prolonged. It's not like baseball is going to be done in 10 years when these guys die, but they only care about, I look at life from a 10-year perspective because that's the only amount of time that I care about. And it's like, bro, no. Like, there is so much more that you have a company that is trying to live on for another 100 years. Or does that not matter to you because you're going to be gone, so in your head, the world ends as soon as you're dead? It's so fully yourself type thinking, and it just makes sense for that type of group of owners. Rich old people who just don't really give a damn about the future at all because they've deemed that they don't like the future, that they don't like people, and that, hey, you know what, we're just going to tank out the entire economy because why not? Why not? We're not going to be here. And they don't care about the sports that they buy either. And they don't give a damn about baseball, and they are ruining it, and they are running it into the ground. And it's not just because of doubleheaders. There are so many other reasons. And I talked to you about them in the past. You guys know how I feel about the game of baseball and where it is today. It ain't in a good place. And it ain't going to be in a good place. Because the people who are in charge of making baseball important don't actually give a crap about making baseball important. They just want to be able to still have their family business. They just want to still be able to have their little bit of money come in off of that. They're lazy, they're cheap, and they're absolutely full of themselves. The worst three combination that you could ever have in a person. Rich, self-serving, and mindless. That's what some of these owners across baseball are. And I'll leave it at that for now. I'm sure we're going to get into this a ton over the summer, but we also have a little Yankees to talk about last night because they handled business once again over those Houston Astros. I mean, oof, oof, oof. The Yankees are getting themselves right here. They get 9-4 over the Astros yesterday, kicking the damn crap out of that guy, Arrigetti. Arrigetti with the ADRA. They gave it to him. You saw Carlos Rodon give a stud-like performance. He goes out there, he fires 6 1/3, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 Ks. An absolute stud-like performance from Rodon, who is becoming consistent. I get it, he had a tough outing last time out. But you have to give guys a little bit of a break when they have been doing well. If you're sitting here in August and Rodon has a sub-3 ERA or a sub-3.5 ERA, and he is having himself a day, or a season, I should say, then you have to start giving the man a little bit of respect. Oh, and by the way, talking about a guy who needs a little bit of respect, there are two in this Yankee lineup who said, get the hell out of the way, everybody. We taking over tonight. And that is Juan Soto, who went off, had himself a nice little home run. 2-run homer in the first to get the thing started. He ended up driving in 5 throughout the night. And then he said, hey, Judgy, what do you got for us? And Judge said, I got a dinger for you. He hit a home run, also drove in 2 more for a total of 3 RBIs on the night. And Giancarlo Stanton added, he said, don't leave me out. Giancarlo Stanton adds a home run to the total. That's how you get 9-4 for the New York Yankees. And just to check in on that Aaron Judge average, now up to 236. This man is a superstar, and I told you, just give him time. Just give him a little bit of time. Let's see what happens. Boom. You're starting to see what happens. You're starting to see what this lineup is going to look like for the Yankees come the playoffs. You're starting to see why people believe in this team. And the greatest news is that Jason Dominguez is nearing rehab assignment. Now, that could, who knows what nearing is. That could be a month away. That could be a couple weeks away. Could be a couple days away. Who knows? But Jason Dominguez, when he gets back, oh, baby. This team is on a different level. And it's unfortunate because now that outfield becomes incredibly stacked to a point where you're going to have to sit somebody every night that you don't need to sit or you don't want to sit. And you're going to have to play a guy like Gleyber Torres instead of one of them, which is also really, really, really annoying. But maybe you're able to find a way to work it out and have all those guys. But here's the one thing that I do know. Having a dude like Jason Dominguez on your team never hurts. It never hurts. That's a fact. Having a guy that's a potential future Hall of Famer on your team, that never hurts. And he's a kid, too. Oof. Oof. Yankees are going to be good. And we haven't even talked about Gerrit Cole yet, who is also starting to get ready to come back. Oh, man, this Yankee team, Yankee fans, you've been bitching and moaning because, you know, there's just, that's what we do as New Yorkers. We're angry and we complain. But this team, this one is going to be one that y'all are going to be writing about for a long, long, long time. Let me tell you that right now. And you can trust Big Papa Zoo with that because, you know, just trust me. You'll see. I promise you. Just like I told you guys to trust me with the Rangers when I said Rangers in 5 over the Hurricanes. And they get another chance to get it right there in Carolina here tonight. Game 3 of this series, puck drop at 7 o'clock from Raleigh. And the Rangers got to come out. The Rangers just got to come out playing tonight. They got to come out with that same edge that they've been playing with throughout the entire postseason. The reason the Rangers have been so good is because they're determined. They're a team on a mission. Yes, they're great. They are a great team. So is Carolina. I'll give Carolina their roses. They're a really good team. They're really, really, really good. And so are a lot of teams in this league right now. But the New York Rangers are on a mission. They are not going to allow you to beat them. They are not going to lose. They're not going down without a fight, and they're going to come out on top. They just have that. They just have that it this year. They have it. And when you see a team that is just great, that is just going out there and handling business, then you have to take acknowledgement of it. You have to just say, hey, you know what? Instead of calling that game the other night lucky, you say the Rangers outlasted them. They won. Because Carolina had enough opportunities to win that game in overtime with power plays and in regulation without anything. And they failed. Carolina failed. They lost. Now you want to say they lost the game and they blew it? Whatever, fine. That's great. But the Rangers had to come out and the Rangers had to win that game. Because if they sit there and they have their thumbs up their booties, they ain't going to win that game. They're not. It's not like Carolina just couldn't score and, oh, the Rangers win 1-0. No, the Rangers had to come back. They had to fight. They had to claw. Igor Shesterkin had to play his ass off. And he is the great equalizer of everything that the Rangers do. If they are ever overmatched, Igor is the one to fix them. Because nobody in this league has a goaltender like Igor Shesterkin. Guys may be there for a little bit. Guys may be on that level for a little while. But Igor is the one. Igor is that dude. When the moment is at its highest, he steps up. He steps up. You fire 60 shots on him, he's going to make 50-some-odd saves. And he's going to keep his team in that game. That's who Igor Shesterkin is. And that's what I expect to see tonight in Carolina. Now, that crowd is going to be raucous. They're going to be feeling themselves for a little bit. Hopefully we got a couple thousand Ranger fans in the house. I know it's not going to be looking like Philly when the Knicks came to town, but listen, if you can get a couple thousand people into Raleigh, that's good. You take over that arena a little bit and you push on. But this arena is going to be rocking with Canes fans. They want to get through, especially after being down 2-0 right here. They're feeling some type of way. Come out and survive those first 10 minutes and put in a goal by the end of the first period, and let's get one of these two games. And that game being tonight. Take game 3 and put your freaking skate on their throats. Put your skate right up to their throat going into game 4. Have them all the way up against the wall in their own house. And know in your head, hey, they might come out and win game 4, but we taking this in 5. Because you have that killer mentality. The Rangers have that killer mentality. Peter Laviolette gave it to them. And these guys, they're taking it because they've seen pain. They've seen loss. They've been beaten in the playoffs now multiple years for most of them. And for a guy like Chris Kreider or a guy like Zibanejad, guys that have been here for a long freaking time at this point, I mean, we're talking about Chris Kreider has been on the Rangers since I was in high school. I'm now 28. You know, Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad has been there since I was a college kid. I'm now graduated college almost, you know, damn, I don't even want to say it. I feel so old. But I've been a long time, all right? I'm not going to say it. But a while. And for those guys, the amount of playoff defeats that they took to have to go through a rebuild, to have to see how this team has changed, this organization has changed while fielding questions about trade rumors on them, they know. They have been waiting for a coach to come in and give them this killer instinct, to give them this killer personality, and to have this team that they can truly make a run with. And tonight is where you stomp out the Carolina Hurricanes. You get this series to 3-0. You make them have to play with their backs against the wall for a game 4 at home, where they have to go balls out. You force them into a situation where they have to worry about getting swept. Do it. Make this happen. Come out, survive the first 10, and then get a goal and go from there. That's the key to the Rangers' success tonight. It's that simple. It's that simple. And the puck drops at 7. Let's see what happens. Get at your boy at Zubeard77 on the Twitter machine. Unfortunately, my good friends, I'm going to have to bid you adieu. And with that being said, we'll talk tomorrow about some Rangers hockey And of course, we got a Knicks game to preview in Indiana, so we will have some information on OG Anunoby by then as well. So make sure you follow me at ZooBeard77 on Twitter, ZOOBEARD77 on Twitter. And as always, my friends, peace!